Just going to read a few verses from Philippians chapter 2. If you were here last week, you were reading up to Philippians 2 chapter verse 18. So I'm going to follow on from that today, verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2. It's a letter written by Paul to the church in Philippi, a church he knew well, and he says this to them at the end of chapter 2. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about him. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. Help us now to think and to understand, to respond and obey, as we look to what you have to say to us this morning from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm asking just a simple question. Who are we following? Who are we following? And 2 weeks ago, we spent a few days in Spain with my brother and his family. And when we got there, we hired a car and we drove it out of the airport. I know some of you have had this experience that in Spain, well, most of Europe, they drive on the other side of the road. They call it the right side of the road. We might call it the wrong side. But anyway, it's a different side of the road to the one that we're used to. So trying to get that into your mind is quite difficult, especially when you're tired and it's 2 a.m. in the morning and you're just arriving at the airport. And my plan was, I'll just follow somebody. So I'd follow somebody. So there'd be a car in front. We'd just follow them. And wherever they go, then we'll go. And then we come to a roundabout or a junction or a crossing. Then we'll follow the car there. Now, that plan depends on 2 things. It depends on there being a car in front of you. But more importantly, probably, it depends on the car in front of you knowing what they're doing and hoping that they're not also a tourist from Britain who's just hired a car from the airport. And so those things are potentially quite tricky. But that car there on the picture that they use in the airports to drive around guiding the planes that says, "Follow me," on the back. But it's a very natural human reaction to want to follow other people. If you're at an airport and you're by a boarding gate and suddenly there are 2 people queuing up, miraculously, suddenly there are 100 people queuing up, and they're queuing because, well, someone else is queuing, so presumably they know what they're doing, and so we'll queue behind them. You see it at the Bullring in Birmingham City Centre. A little crowd gathers and people come and they And what's happening? We don't know what's happening, but someone else is here, so we've come to see what they're seeing. And we follow. It's a very natural thing we do, that we follow other people. The question is, who are we following? Are we following someone who knows what they're doing or not? Now, Paul knew the importance of this question. You see, in chapter 2 of Philippians, this letter he's written last week, you thought about this, the Paul was saying, urging the Philippians to be united, to be like-minded, to put others first, to look to Jesus. And of course, as Christians, we want to say, who are we following? We're following Jesus. But Paul knew, and we know, that it's also important to have people around us who are showing us what it looks like to live as Christians, what it looks like to follow Jesus. And Paul sort of picks up and shows these two people, Timothy and Epaphroditus, here at the end of chapter 2. And I don't know, as I read it just now, what stood out for you from the descriptions of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Just two things quickly I want to raise. We're going to move on to communion. And the two questions, which I had some wonderful help earlier on with, but this one, the first question, it's on there, is the who question. And I'm not sure, was this Roxy or was this Sophie? Roxy's. The who question. So who are we following? The first few verses there, verse 19 to 24, we think about Timothy. And the phrase that stood out for me from Timothy is in verse 20. If you look at verse 20, Paul says this, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. I have no one else like Timothy who will show genuine concern for your welfare. And if you just let that sink in for a moment, what Paul is saying is it is very rare to find a Christian even who is genuinely concerned for other people, who is living out Philippians 2 verse 4, put others' interests before your own. It is rare. And Timothy is one of these rare people who is living that out. Now actually, the Philippians knew Timothy. If you go back into Acts chapter 16, he was there when the church was founded. They knew him. And so Paul is really saying, look, Timothy, you know Timothy. You know how he is with other people. Well, honor people like him. Look to people like him. And I wonder, the question for me then is there, who are we following? Yes, we're following Jesus, but who are those people around us who are encouraging us and helping us to see what it means to live as Jesus did, who are modeling for us what that looks like? Amanda, perhaps when you get home later today, you might like to sit for a moment and think about that. Who is it in your life who helps you, who models for you what it means to follow Jesus? But actually, there's a follow-on question, more challenging maybe for some of us, that as you think about that, who are we following, there's a flip side. Who is following us? Who is following us? And that's a challenging question. For many of us, we feel, oh, I don't want anyone to follow me. I mean, I've no idea where I'm driving. Don't follow me. But that's what Paul calls us to in this book, in Philippians. We're going to read again at the end of the service today, Philippians 2:15, where Paul says, then you will shine like stars in the sky. Paul is encouraging us to be those who lead others to Jesus, who show others the way to Jesus. And the idea that we might be responsible for that might be scary for us, but it's what Paul calls us to. Who are we helping to see Jesus? Perhaps someone in our family, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a work colleague, or a school friend. Let's take that challenge with us this morning too. Who is following me? Who is following us? Who am I helping to see Jesus? So that's the who question. The second question, which moves us on to Epaphroditus, got an interest. You try and spell his name later on. It's tricky. But Epaphroditus, there's a question here that I've called this. Who was this? This was Sophie's. The what question. The what question. Because when we look at Epaphroditus, we see he came from Philippi. He was he was someone from the church in Philippi. He'd been sent by them, perhaps with a box a bit like this one. Oops, it's open. With money. And he'd been sent from Philippi all the way to Paul, who we think was probably in Rome by this point. It's a long journey. It's a risky journey. And Epaphroditus is the one who brought the money to Paul. So clearly he's a trusted man. You wouldn't give a load of money to someone you weren't sure about. But he was also willing to take up this challenge, to take this gift all the way and go on this what would have been a dangerous journey to find Paul. But verse 30, here's the heart of what I want to say about Epaphroditus, the last line of this chapter. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. You see, somewhere along the journey, perhaps on the travel, perhaps when he got to Rome, Epaphroditus got ill, and he not only got ill, but he almost died. And Epaphroditus was someone prepared to risk everything for the work of God. Kids down here are writing little cards and drawing little cards, which will be sent to people who live in places today where you may have to risk your life as a Christian. For most of us, that's not the case. Certainly not the case here in Birmingham. But it is true in some parts of the world today. And the question it leaves me with is, the what question is, what risks are we taking? What are we risking? What risks are we prepared to take? We're not often called to risk our lives. But perhaps as we think ahead to the kitchen opening weekend and that Saturday, the 21st of September, we'll be asking you to invite friends, to invite a neighbour, to invite a family member, to invite a school friend to come and to be here on that Saturday and to get an invitation to church the following day. And that might feel risky. What if they say no? What if they don't want to come? What if they get annoyed with me? What if? It may be risky. But what are the risks we are prepared to take? What are those risks which we are taking? It's a challenge, I think, for us from Epaphroditus. What are we risking? What am I risking? And as those cards go across the world to places where Christians are in real danger, we don't face that perhaps here. But what are we prepared to risk for God? So this morning, we're going to lead in a moment into communion. We're going to sing again. And we recognize it's not easy for us to follow faithfully in Jesus' footsteps. It's not easy for us to put others' needs and interests first, as Timothy did. It's not easy for us to risk, as Epaphroditus did. We need God's help. We need God's help. And as we come to communion, that's what we receive. We receive not only this bread and this wine, but we receive strength. And as we remember what Jesus did for us, as we celebrate what Jesus did for us, we receive the encouragement and the power to step out into the rest of this week with God in the center of our lives.